Welcome to C2Y Podcast, Discussions on Child and Youth Care. My name is Wolfgang Vachon. One of my first interviews on this podcast was with Carol Stewart about the book she co-authored with Karas Garabagi called Right Here, Right Now, Life Space Interventions with Children and Youth. In this book, the authors discuss working with people in their life space, the daily world they live in. One of the dimensions of life space they write about is the virtual. This dimension involves states of the young person that others may or may not have access to, fantasies, hallucinations, imaginary friends, and the like. The other aspect of the virtual dimension is technological. Online communities, social networks, gaming worlds, etc. This aspect of the virtual is increasingly present in all our lives. C2Y Podcast is part of the virtual dimension. If we look around, there are many virtual spaces for child and youth care practitioners. One of the most well-known is cycnet.org, but there are many others: youthwork.com, Children and Young People Now, Social Care Online, childrensrights.org, to identify just a sampling. The virtual realm has become increasingly important for us in doing our work. One site that has strongly embraced the virtual dimension is Ultimate Youth Worker. They have a blog, a Facebook page, a Twitter account, and a YouTube channel. Ultimate Youth Worker does webcast trainings, produces podcasts, and also works offline, offering supervision, coaching, and training. Today, I'm speaking with Aaron Garth from Ultimate Youth Worker. Welcome, Aaron.
Thanks for having me, Wolfgang. I'm stoked to be here.
Pleasure to have you. Where does the name Ultimate Youth Worker come from?
It actually came through a session with a few friends. We had been in the field for a number of years, and we're actually really annoyed with the level of support and training for youth workers. And we'd all got into the sector to be the best youth workers we could possibly be. But it seemed that the support to become the best youth worker was limited. And so the name Ultimate Youth Worker comes from this striving to become the best youth workers we can be, because I often ask the question of other youth workers: did you get in to be mediocre, or did you get in to become the best you could be? And no one has ever said to me they wanted to be mediocre.
I'm happy to hear that.
Me too.
So what does the ultimate youth worker as a person, what makes them the ultimate youth worker? What could we do to become the ultimate youth worker?
Yeah. It's a bit of tongue-in-cheek as much of it as anything. And this striving to be the best, I know hundreds and hundreds of youth workers, and no one is the best youth worker, the ultimate youth worker. So it is a bit tongue-in-cheek, but we're starting to put together a pillars of practice that we think ultimate youth workers show, and it's more of a skill set than being number one. We've got seven areas that we look at. We look at ongoing professional development, because we never know everything, and the day that you think you know everything, something new pops up and you have to change it. We look at accountability. We have to be accountable to ourselves, to our clients, to our sector, and to the public in general. Reflective practice is a big one that we see ultimate youth workers doing really well, but the sector really struggling with. So the idea that we have to reflect on our practice rather than just do it day in, day out. Another area for us is deep engagement, not these short, two-minute engagements that a lot of governments around the world expect us to do, but to actually get involved with our young people's lives. Another area for us is around behavior and behavioral analysis. It's all too often we look at issues for young people, that they're drug takers, that they're homeless, that they're not attending school, rather than the behaviors that drive that. And for us, we think behavior is a really important area that ultimate youth workers need to deal with and understand. And of course, youth work values. We need to understand that our young people are our primary client, and that their views, their values are the ones that we need to hold true to. And then to do all of that, having a wide and diverse knowledge base to work from. So they're kind of our seven areas that we work from with Ultimate Youth Worker. And we hope that any youth worker who wants to become the best that they could possibly be would be showing these areas.
That's a wonderful list, those seven pillars. There's many competency lists that have been developed over the past couple of decades, and I quite like this comprehensive list and the room within that list for each individual to find their what makes them the ultimate within that.
That's right. And for us, we didn't want just another tick box list to see, you know, I've ticked my 10 competencies, I must be the ultimate youth worker. It takes time and effort and energy to become the best in anything. If you want to be an Olympian or a champion in tennis or whatever it might be, you need to put time and effort into it. And it's all the micro skills as much as the macro ones that we see are the important things for being an ultimate youth worker.
Absolutely. So as you support youth workers in these seven pillars, why have you embraced the virtual realm, the technological online realm so much?
It really goes against the grain of what's happening here in Australia. We are seeing a lot of pushback from our colleagues here in Australia about using the online realm. But we like to think of ourselves as a progressive and a forward-thinking organisation, and we see that online is going to be the place for professional development and support of the future. We're already starting to see organisations here in Australia pick up online support, particularly around mental health, as a really big thing. So the public is already starting to use online tools. For us, it means that we can get these ideas across to a wider audience in a shorter period of time with the least amount of resources being used to get a message out that we think everybody should hear. So whether that's in a webcast where you can potentially be talking to thousands of people, whether that's a podcast doing the same thing, or a blog where, you know, you might have tens of thousands of people peruse it over time, we think that the online space is just a phenomenal tool that needs to be used even more.
What's the pushback about?
Yeah, so as youth workers, we like people, and it's different when you've got a screen, or in the case of us today, you're in Toronto, I'm in Victoria, Melbourne, and we had to deal with time differences to get this cast going. We're not looking at each other, we're just using the call feature on Skype. What we found is that youth workers struggle with that because we like to look at each other and we like to see people's facial expressions, and we like the intimacy of being together in a room of maybe 10 or 20 people. And when you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people, most of the youth workers we've spoken to get a little nervous about that.
Hmm. So do you think the Ultimate Youth Worker as a person, not your organization, should live and work in the virtual realm? Meaning, should we as youth workers be in the same virtual spaces that young people are?
Definitely. And I would say even more so today than even a year ago or 5 years ago. The spaces that young people are starting to frequent more and more are the online communities, whether that's through your Facebooks and the like, or whether it's things like Call of Duty and the gaming world. We're seeing more and more young people turning to those areas for support than going to their local youth worker.
So how do we access that space as youth workers?
Very, very gently and with some trepidation. I think all too often here in Australia, at least, we've seen local council groups or small not-for-profits dive into the space with open arms and hoping that young people will respect that and come to them. And that's caused a lot of issues, whether that's through privacy and confidentiality issues, whether that's young people feeling that they were being stalked by their youth workers. But what we have seen is a lot of those organizations in a pendulum swing go the complete opposite way. They felt burnt by going into it. And so they've stopped, they don't want to do it again, and they feel fear of going into these spaces. I think in the same way that youth workers do when you're doing, say, street outreach, we just have to take it easy, we have to be genuine, and we have to show care. So whether that's starting an online Facebook group or a blog or a forum, we just need to take care and involve our young people in those groups as well.
So develop the groups with the young person in conjunction with the worker?
Definitely. We at Ultimate Youth Worker really love youth engagement. We think that the best way for young people to get ahead in this world is for them to be provided opportunities to show that they can get ahead. So them developing the groups with support of youth workers rather than youth workers necessarily starting the group would be the ideal situation.
And are you aware of that happening?
I know a number of organizations here in Australia have done that. We have just recently helped a local government set up their Facebook sites, and that was done through consultation with their youth committee, their youth council, and developing what they actually wanted to have started, rather than just the local youth worker who wanted to put up every event that was going to happen.
Sorry, we got a little garbled. Skype voice happening there.
Excellent. I sound like Iron Man.
Yes, you did. So you were saying that the youth were more involved in creating what was going to go on?
Definitely. And the young people themselves have much better idea of what this online community looks like than we ever could. They're dealing with it day in, day out, and in a lot of ways we're just tourists in the area.
As tourists in this area who want to be on the journey with people,
yes,
in this space, how do we make that shift so we can make Facebook pages? I'm intrigued with how we build relationship, how we support young people in this realm that for many of us is very, very foreign.
Yeah, definitely. Once again, like everything, it takes time and effort. And for us at Ultimate Youth Worker, we spent a lot of time doing the research, what's worked, what hasn't worked. We've looked at groups that flared up and had massive growth and then died out. We looked at groups that have been around for years and have had, 10 or 20 people involved. And we asked the question, what was the difference between the groups? And it came down to who had control. And if the young people had control and were able to develop these sites, whatever they might be, whether it's a podcast or a Facebook site or a blog or a website, if the young people were able to set the standard and the youth workers were there to just support, the site seemed to take off and run really well. If youth workers or their organizations were the ones setting the standard, there was very little involvement and very little support given to young people. And young people then didn't trust the websites or the podcasts or whatever it might be.
We sometimes see in the virtual dimension that things are said that would not, we perceive them would not otherwise be said face to face, and yes. things like bullying, for example. There's a paradox for me around intimacy and distance in the virtual realm. As youth workers accessing that space, working in that space, does it create a more distance from the young people we're working with? Does it create more intimacy? Can it do both?
Definitely. I would say it can create distance, but also create intimacy. There are some young people that will never actually come to our services, will never walk physically through the door, that will engage with us through Facebook or through our website or through a forum. I was recently at a conference here in Australia where an organisation called the Young and Well CRC were talking about some studies that they did and some forums that they'd helped start with young people. And most of the work that they've done was around mental health and mental illness. And they said that having young people as moderators of the forums was one of the best decisions that they ever made, because the young people who were the moderators would jump on things earlier than they would as youth workers, would pull other young people up quicker if they were to start bullying or saying things that they shouldn't on the site. So having young people be the moderators and talk about the rules and set the rules for themselves was one of the best things that they did in their work. There is that dichotomy, though, of stuff can be said quite flippantly online, because I'm not sitting in front of the person that I'm talking about. And that's something that we as a society as a whole need to address. I don't have the answer, unfortunately, for that one, but it's something that we need to be aware of and pull up as quickly as we can.
There's been a real shift over the past decade and a half, how we relate with young people, notwithstanding the pushback that you're receiving. It's, you know, time was that the idea of giving your cell phone number to a young person was unheard of. Now people get, you know, it's unheard of not to give your cell yeah. phone number. Yeah. If you don't have a Facebook page, you're not considered a legitimate youth worker.
That's right.
For me, it's also really challenges what I learned around boundaries and yes. how we negotiate boundaries. What do you think accessing living in the virtual realm, how does that shift how we understand boundaries in our professional work?
It's chalk and cheese. The boundary issue is so different today than it was even a decade ago when I started as a youth worker. We were lucky if we had MSN Messenger when I started, and once again, you would never give your young person your MSN Messenger ID, whereas today with Facebook and Facebook Messenger and email and cell phones and all that, young people have 100 different ways of contacting you, and I think the boundary issue is something that unfortunately in youth work education we're 10, 20 years behind in discussing. We need to look at what appropriate boundaries are. And in some respects, we're going backwards in how we look at boundaries. We at Ultimate Youth Worker have recently been doing a lot of discussions with organisations around the boundaries that they have with young people. And we took a line from the Australian military, and it's one that has been used around the world, that they use when developing leaders. And they say that you need to be firm, fair, friendly, but never familiar. I think it's that familiarity that is the struggle when we talk about the online world. If I put up a picture of my daughter's birthday, my youngest daughter just had her fourth birthday, if I don't have the settings right, then I can that will be seen by any young person that they want to be seen. So we need to learn how to use the technology to set boundaries. But we also need to tell young people what those boundaries are. That in the same way that when we first started giving out cell phone numbers, we would say, you know, you can call me anytime as long as it's between 9 and 5. we need to say the same thing with our Facebooks and Twitters and all those other social medias.
And set those parameters. And what happens, how do we have that negotiation when those, you know, because, you know, 3/4 of the young people I work with, you know, that's 9 to 5, they're sleeping.
That's right.
And so, you know, they're going to reach out at 2 or 3 or 4 a.m.
And that's right.
Is that not the advantage of the virtual realm, that in some ways we are always present?
It does beg the question, has youth work become a 24-hour profession again? I remember speaking to some of my older colleagues who in the 70s were early outreach youth workers here in Melbourne, and they were 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on call because they were available and they were out on the streets and people knew where they could find them. In some ways, we've come full circle again. The only difference is instead of being out on the street, we're on the web. And I think, yes, on one hand, it is the advantage, and but our organisations haven't kind of got that yet. We're still very much a 9 to 5 or an 8 to 5 based world. Governments only fund us for those kind of hours, and rare is it to see a youth work organisation working later into the evenings. And I think that that's something that we need to address as a sector and as society, because young people will only reach out when they feel comfortable. And that doesn't mean that they're going to do it at 10 a.m. in the morning, because they're usually still asleep.
And many youth workers I know wish they were as well, for that matter.
Oh, if I haven't had a few coffees by then, young people wish I was asleep.
So when we enter the virtual realm, we try to do it in collaboration with young people. We have those discussions with young people. We negotiate with our organizations regarding what the frameworks are, what the expectations are. Are there other suggested practices, promising practices when working with young people in the virtual realm that we should bear in mind?
I think that the big thing is to remember our youth work values, that young people are our primary client, that we're there for their safety and security, and we're there to help them become the best people they can possibly be. If we remember our core youth work values when we're in the virtual realm, then we will see the work that we've been doing for decades, hundreds of years, fill that same gap that's in the virtual realm. And I think all too often we see organizations and youth workers have a fear of the virtual realm. They just need to remember it's just like any other youth work environment. The same rules apply. It's just a different way of doing it.
If we identify concerning things online and it's someone that we've never met in person, are there suggested ways of addressing those issues with the person? So I'm thinking of bullying, I'm thinking of suicidal ideation, or things along those lines, threats to others.
Definitely. This was a question that was asked of the Young and Well CRC guys at the conference that I was at. And they mentioned that quite often they would use the young people who were moderators as intermediaries. They would, if possible, get those young people to point the person with the issue to the youth worker. or at least reach out and say, there are youth workers here. Do you mind if they will contact you? I think in the same way that we ask young people to keep an eye out for their friends, their mates, the same applies in the virtual world. Now, that's not going to happen in every situation. You're not going to have people who know these faceless people out there in internet land. And I think sometimes as youth workers, we just need to reach out, put our hand out and say we're here to help. And we can do that in a very safe way in all, things like Facebook. You can do the private messaging. So it's very much just doing youth work 101, reaching out and saying we're here to help.
Nice. I would like to take that idea of helping and come full circle if we can. You started by saying one of the reasons that you started Ultimate Youth Worker was because you didn't see the level of support and training and what I understand as help for youth workers. How does Ultimate Youth Worker support other youth workers?
Yeah, good question. We were sitting around one night a little over 18 months ago and just lamenting the fact that we'd had really bad professional development experiences, that our bosses didn't seem to have the skills to be able to supervise us, generally because they were youth workers themselves and through attrition were promoted into this role of manager without any training or skill set. And we asked the question, well, what would Youth Work 2.0 look like, to take our talk of the online world to the next step? What would it look like if Youth Work version 1 is what we've learned in our university courses or through our other education systems? What more do we need to know? And the first thing that came to mind for us was we need some self-care and reflective practice skills. I know that there's some universities throughout the world who teach reflective practice really well to youth workers. Unfortunately, here in Australia, that wasn't the case. And so we spent a lot of time reading and researching what good reflective practice looks like. And one of the things that came up was that more peer-focused reflective practice was a great opportunity to look at. So we've spent a lot of time helping organisations over the last 18 months develop their own peer reflective practice groups. We also do our own professional supervision of staff, one-on-one and in groups. And we found that the online world is a really great way of doing that. We have some clients on the other side of Australia that we use Skype to meet with. And they put us on the big projector screen in their organization. And we speak from Melbourne and they hear us in Perth, which is the other side, 3,000 Ks away. And for us, developing first and foremost those skills for self-care and self-reflection were key. And then from that, looking at the diverse knowledge base. What professional development skills do we need? And one that we're looking at over the next 12 months is youth work and mental health. The stats here in Australia are probably very similar to the rest of the world. 1 in 4 of our young people will have a diagnosed mental health issue by the time they're 25. A quarter of our clientele at least. And I know a lot of the work that I've done over the years has been at the crisis end of the spectrum. And I would say that's more like 80% rather than 1 in 4. Yet our teaching of mental health skills has been lacking. So how can youth workers gain some skills like mental health skills, like drug and alcohol skills, that will hold them in good stead as they work with their clients?
It's a great question. When I was in the introduction, I talked about the Right Here, Right Now by Stewart and Garibaldi, and they speak of the virtual realm as both a technological space, but also a space that young people live in that others may not have access to, hallucinations, fantasies, what we often call psychoses. Do you see that same relationship between the online virtual realm and the world of mental illness, delusion, psychoses. Is there a relationship there for you?
Definitely. And you only have to look at the new DSM-5 to see that even the American Psychiatric Association is seeing a marked increase in this online world causing or bringing to the fore mental health issues. Video game addiction is something that was seen as silly 10 years ago, but now is something that there are a number of treatment facilities throughout the world for. It is a fantasy world that you can get away from your problems in the same way that we see young people take drugs or use alcohol to take away some of the pains of the world. If you're a young person who's having bullying issues, you can get into Call of Duty or another game and become the hero. And so who doesn't like that idea? I mean, I like the idea of being the hero, so why don't they? For young people, video games or even the Facebook games, we're seeing so many young women here in Australia pick up Facebook games as a way of getting out of the world that they're in. It's a big issue and one that we need to start to learn to address. There's not a lot out there when it comes to the research on how we do that. So it's definitely an area that we need to work on.
Indeed. I sense that we're just beginning this conversation that is so important about how we shift our work. And as someone who teaches at a college here in Canada, we as a faculty have had many discussions about, is what we're teaching what's going on right now? Youth workers, I know their relationships are very different and their sense of boundaries are very different than what I teach in my class. And how do I align that? And it's something that we are, really looking at as a faculty. And I think you raise some crucial points to further that conversation for all of us who are youth workers and the students that I teach now who are, 17, 18, 22, their relationship to the virtual world is very, very different than was mine.
And mine too. I'm a decade into my youth work career, and even the changes over this last decade for me have been phenomenal. We didn't have Facebook a decade ago. We didn't have as many online opportunities as we have right now a decade ago, and we need to change with the times. It's one of those things that youth workers have always prided themselves on, that we roll with the punches. We learn to support young people where young people are at. Unfortunately, we haven't been as quick on the uptake with the virtual world as we have with other areas.
Yes. As we wrap up, is there any other things that you would like to say?
I think for youth workers, we struggle with these questions all the time, every day. And from the ultimate youth worker perspective, what we see is so many great youth workers leaving the sector because these issues aren't being addressed. And for us, that self-care and reflective practice time is really important. And we'd highly recommend that every youth worker takes the time to ask these questions and to struggle with trying to find the answers, because it'll be a youth worker out there on the ground somewhere that comes up with the answer, not us academics or organizational leaders. It'll be one youth worker out there who's in the virtual world doing these things that will come up with the answer. And so keep doing it, guys. Ask the questions.
Absolutely. And I suspect the answer has been out there for a while. Thank you very, very much for taking the time today, Aaron. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I will continue to follow your blog and, well, maybe not all your other virtual spaces, but certainly your blog and your emails.
Hey, even one is a big step.
Excellent. Thank you. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks very much.